Thank you, brother. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God and our precious Lord Jesus Christ, we come this morning utterly helpless and utterly in need of you and all that you are. We come here into your presence, gathered into your name, as you have promised so dearly and so definitely that when two or three are gathered into your name, there you are in our midst. Oh, how we need you to be in our midst today. How we need you to be in our midst in these days. We do pray even now for every brother and sister's hearts. We pray for every family. We pray for every couple. We pray especially for the dear saints and the families who are directly affected by this tragic incident that took place in Sacramento 2 weeks ago. Lord, this morning we're here open to you, sitting at your feet, and here wanting to hear a word out of your mouth. We pray that all the brothers and sisters' inner being would be calm. We pray that we would all be in a tranquil condition. As you said, Lord, be still and know that I am God. Surely you are the God of this universe, and even more so, you are our God. You're also the Father of all comfort. So this morning we pray that you will say something to us in an intimate way to comfort us in a way that only you can, deeply, abidingly. Lord, we pray for your cleansing blood to cleanse us and to protect us and to cover us, our conscience, our whole being. We pray against your enemy, who is constantly still provoked to attack, to disturb, to interrupt, even to destroy. Lord, we are against him and we bind him. We're here even stand and withstand in your whole armor. Lord, we pray that you will use these words this morning, however inadequate, however deficient, to minister your dear self as the boundless grace into us, because you are that grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirit. Amen. Well, dear saints, this is a special meeting. It is the last gathering of the working saints in this quarter on these alternate Saturdays. And because of what took place recently in one of the churches, the church in Sacramento, we feel to devote this time not to the theme or the burden or the line, of the fellowship on vitalization, which we have been following in the recent months. But we will end this quarter's fellowship, perfecting fellowship, with a particular word. And I would hope that this is a word of real comfort to all of us. In these days, in the world, there is incomprehensible calamity of carnage and destruction. Even though it is on the other side of the world and not close to us, but this world today is small indeed. And this dangerous situation, this horrible human disaster continues to shock us all. We're in an unsafe world today, filled with danger, and as we hear the news and try to absorb these things, we don't know what is going on. We don't know why is this. We don't know how to handle these news. Of course, there are many kinds of reactions, and people are taking actions in different ways. We, the Church of God, the people who exist in the divine and mystical realm, also humanly share this bewilderment of the world situation today. It is perplexing, and this is depressing, to say the very least. And then, while that is going on, in the last couple of weeks, on the home front, in one of our churches, an entirely ungraspable tragedy and loss happened. It is hitting a lot more close to home. This violent and senseless shooting that resulted in the death of five. A father who did the killing and the shooting, his three girls, children, and also our dear brother, Nathaniel Kong. When things like this happen, it's just too close. And so I don't know about you, but when I heard this, I am just numbed with shock. I was reeling in disbelief. I was filled, even for some moments, consumed with anxiety. And since that day, in the subsequent days, as the grief sets in, and especially with the families and the saints there in Sacramento, and I think by extension, many of us here in Northern California, the feeling, the emotions are just running wild. We alternate between denial, pain, anger, and despair. The times we feel bereft, abandoned, and lonely. We even start to question many things, including God Himself. Where are you? Why is this allowed to happen? Just what is going on here? We even ask the question, where are you? You seem silent. We cannot find you. Where is your promise, presence? And where is your safekeeping? Brothers and sisters, I like to say that these feelings are human. They are normal. But in these times, there's also a danger. The danger is that we remain in these feelings. We find ourselves in the crucible of thoughts and imaginations. We find ourselves being attacked by fear, by threatenings, by the lack of safety. Our minds could be filled with doubts towards God and His heart, maybe even the church. I like to spend some time, therefore, this morning with us to come back, as it were, to God Himself and to His Word, to come back to our spirit, the mingled spirit, with which is joined to the heavenlies, the holiest of all. It says in Hebrews that we have an anchor of our soul. And that anchor is that hope that was given to us from God. And it leads, that anchor leads or dwells in the holiest place, the Holy of Holies in the heavens. It's a heavenly hope. But that heavenly Holy of Holies is joined by a heavenly ladder, which is Christ, to our innermost being, our spirit. And so today, I hope we will turn to our spirit, where we will find anchorage, where we will find stability, where we will not continue to drift, as it were, or tossed about by waves, by a storm. When the disciples were rowing across that sea to the other side, there were two different accounts in the Gospels. One, the Lord was there resting, sleeping in part of that boat. And the other account, he was not in the boat, but he was walking on the sea towards that boat. In either case, the Lord eventually rebuked the wind and rebuked the storm and rebuked the sea, and all became still and quiet. And in the other case, he eventually entered into the boat of the disciples. And the moment he did so, everything in the environment calmed down. And soon they were at the other side. The point here, my brothers and sisters, is this question that we like to ask frequently the unbelievers: is Jesus in your boat? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is in our boat. And where he is, everything is fine. He said, "Do not fear, it is I." I hope that in these times, in these days, maybe even the word this morning will help us all to turn to him, to receive him, to trust in him, to have faith in him, that he is, after all, the very Lord of heaven and earth and all the environment and all the things that happens in our life are under his control. That what we need today more than anything else is just his presence. Emmanuel himself. I will be with you until the end of the age. He is with us. I am with you again and again, he told Israel. Fear not and take courage. Besides the Lord's own presence, and that presence is actually very dear, very near, because he is the life-giving spirit. That spirit of grace, that spirit of life, that spirit of love. That spirit, who is the spirit of reality, the other comforter. Let that spirit, the Lord himself, comfort us in these days with his own presence. But besides the spirit of his, dear brothers and sisters, we have his word. His word. And so this morning, I just like to spend some time together here to come back to the word of God. And in his word, in his great and precious promises, we find comfort and we find peace and we find hope. I cannot comfort you, brothers and sisters, because I myself need comfort. But we do have, as we said already, the God of all comfort. All comfort. Any kind of comfort we need, he provides. Any kind of comfort that no one knows that we need, he supplies. Let us enjoy his care, his concern, the one who is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Well, I'd like to share something now. And actually, I began to say something, but because I didn't have much time to prepare, I somewhat spoke just extemporaneously this last Lord's Day there with the saints in the Sacramento Valley area in that family gathering. But today I like to use 10 things to comfort all of us in this present situation. Number one, we should be comforted by the word, the incorruptible word of God. Today, in these times, where everything is trying to shake us, to disturb us, to bring fear in our lives, and to consume us with anxiety, with all the things that are swirling around, we need the word of God. I would ask and encourage all of us these days to spend time in God's word. That word is the only thing in this universe besides God himself that abides forever. That is living. And that is remaining. Not one jot nor tittle can be removed. What he said, God said, is. What he commands stands. And it is and it stands for eternity. The environment will change. Our feelings will fluctuate. Even our faith can be interrupted. But one thing that will abide forever is the living word and operative word of God. And so whatever we may share today, that all according to the word and based on that word. I particularly in these times am burdened for the younger saints, our younger brothers and sisters. Come back to the word. This word is filled with comfort, filled with encouragement, filled with strengthening. These are the precious promises of God. Number two, these days let us take comfort in God himself, in his undeniable, immutable self. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a greatest thing in this universe related to God, and that is he is invariable. There's no turning of shadows with him. He's immortal. He's eternal. This is our God. Everything can change. We can change. Surely the world situation can change. But he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All his characteristics and all his attributes are unchanging. He cannot lie, and he never lied. He is our real North Star. Let us come to our God, this God, in these days and find solace in him. Lord, everything is upside down, it seems, in our universe, and everything is just changing and deteriorating. But Lord, you are still the same. You are still the same God. You're still faithful. You're still loving. You are still our God. Paul said that we can deny him, but he cannot deny himself, because he is that faithful one. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful. God is faithful. Don't listen even to what the world says and what your mind tells you or what your feeling will suggest to you. God is faithful, and he is here and present. Number two, we should find comfort in God's unchangeable counsel. This you find in Hebrew somewhere, that there are two things. Number one, his promises, which we just touched, and also his oath. His oath. And what? His counsel is unchangeable. When we talk about God's counsel, we're talking about a lot of things here. If you read the New Testament, it begins with a good pleasure in his heart. And that pleasure became his will, his determined will, his intention. And that will becomes a purpose with a goal, with a finality, with a consummation. And with that counsel, God considers things, how to achieve that eternal goal of his, and that is his counsel. That is his counsel. And of course, through his counsel, he worked out an economy, the way, the administration to work out what is originally in his heart. In these times, with what is happening far away or what is happening close to home, when we begin to question and have doubts, remember, my brothers and sisters, this counsel of God is unchangeable. Even he cannot change it. It is determined from our predestination, from our being marked out, from our being called, to our being saved and sanctified today, and to our one day to be glorified with him in his presence, and all the way until the new Jerusalem appears, when the old creation is over and that new creation is consummated in that holy city. This counsel is unchangeable. This should have been a great comfort to all of us, brothers and sisters. Number three, we need to find comfort in his untraceable ways. And that would be in Romans. In Romans, I need to look at this in chapter 11, at the end of this whole section and God's selection. And by the way, I forgot to mention, when we talk about the undeniable self of God, this means his being. This means applies to his nature. And here in Romans, it says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Do you see this? His ways, including his judgments, are unsearchable and untraceable. That means it's inexplorable. It is beyond our human mind. If you ask me, why does it happen this way? I don't know. I don't know. I only know one thing, that his ways are higher than our ways, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And brothers and sisters, that is good enough. There are many questions to things that occur in the world and in our own lives that we will not have an answer even when we leave this earth. And perhaps there will be answers in the next age when we see the Lord, or in eternity. Even that I do not know. There's just something that belongs to God and himself only. What we should do is acknowledge these mysterious thoughts of his. We should worship these untraceable ways of his. What he has ordained, what he has timed, everything is under him. Who knows his mind? And who can counsel him? No one. Our position, our stance is just to give him our obedience, our worship to all that is taking place. We say, amen, Lord. You're on the throne. You have your ways and you have your plan. We worship you. When David's son died, after he had fasted and prayed for days, of course, this is after the great sin he committed. He got up, actually, and bathed himself and ate. Of course, he said, the son is dead, what can I do? But I recall in a message by Watchman Nee that I read as a very, very young man, called Worshiping the Ways of God. This story of David was told, was used. David did not complain. David, rather, worshiped God. Here is a man who knows God in his mysterious ways, knows what he is doing. And we do well to say, amen. Amen, Lord. And then we should comfort ourselves, number five, with the indestructible life of God. The Lord, as the heavenly Melchizedek, is constituted with such an indissoluble life, the power of an endless life, which life, brothers and sisters, we share, which life has been given to us. This is that eternal, uncreated, divine, death-overcoming life. The life of resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. This I am, this great I am, has been given by the Father to us in the Son. We have this life, brothers and sisters. What a comfort. And all these dear ones who passed away has this life. Have this life. And as the Lord Jesus died and rose and lived forever, we too will experience the same. Today, we're experiencing that life every day. We're living by that life. We're sustained by that life. This life is powerful to overcome death. This life defeats death. And this life is in our brothers and sisters. I understand that this man who took the other's life and his own life is a Christian brother, received the Lord. The three girls, that the oldest one was saved and baptized in a sixth grade retreat or something like that, and the two younger ones are in the children's meeting, and having heard the gospel, have received the Lord somehow, some way. So that life is their portion. Then there will be a day of resurrection because of this life. And dear brothers and sisters, today we should comfort ourselves with this life. Then the sixth thing I want to mention that we should comfort ourselves in is the compassions of God, the illimitable compassions of God, the boundless compassions of God. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Father of compassions. That word specifically is compassion. That means mercies. That means sympathy. That means pity. And particularly in the Old Testament, we find again and again God speaking and the prophets speaking concerning his compassion as the compassion that never fails. The Lord, in James, it says, is tender-hearted and compassionate. Let us do away with the thought that God is cruel, that God is heartless, that God doesn't care because such and such has happened and happened in such and such a way. No, God is compassionate. God cares. The enemy is used by Satan, an human instrument, would wreak destruction, would kill. But God is compassionate still. His mercies are new every morning. Brothers and sisters, let us enjoy that compassion. God's compassion is my story. What a hymn. God is merciful. Then I would like to say, number 7, oh, how important this is, and that is his love, his inseparable love. And this we find in Romans chapter 8, where because of God's love towards us, because of God's being for us, because God's plan to predestinate, to call, to justify and glorify us, because God has so much that he had prepared to save us to the uttermost, Satan would bring forth a charge against us. He's provoked. He wants to condemn us. He wants to destroy what God wants to do in us. And therefore it says that for this reason, Christ Jesus, who died and rose, is in the heavens interceding for us, praying for us. Then he continued with these last verses in Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness. I think about the dear saints there in Ukraine. Under all these sufferings, but no one, including the devil himself, can separate our dear members from the love of Christ. In all these things, all these sufferings, all these afflictions, we more than conquer through him who loved us. Again and again, the apostle repeats the love of God, the love of Christ. We conquer not by our strength. We conquer in a sense not by power. We conquer through love, the one who loved us. And Paul ended by saying, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, the love of God is simply inseparable. Inseparable. Let us hold on to this fact. Let us drink of this love today, even now. No one, nothing, no matter what, We can even be separated from our loved ones, but not from the love of God. What love is this? What great love is this? What eternal love is this? Then we need to find comfort in the grace of God, which flow out from his love, which transmit his love to us through the fellowship of the Spirit. And this grace, and recently we have this marvelous conference for the Chinese speaking on the grace of God in God's economy. And I was overwhelmed by its boundlessness, its abundance, its grace upon grace. It's the all-sufficient grace. It's the multiplied grace. It's the all grace. His grace is simply immeasurable. Not a little grace, but boundless. And with this grace, we're saved. And by this grace, we reign. We reign in all situations. Brothers and sisters, do not fall from this grace, but take this grace every moment, every day. The grace of the Lord be with us. Grace be with all his saints. Let's enjoy our triune God as everything. Let's enjoy this triune God supplying us to be what we cannot be, to do what we cannot do, to bear what we cannot bear, to endure what we cannot endure, to suffer what we cannot suffer. I am what I am, not because of myself, but because of this grace of God that is with me, Paul says. And in these times, may this abounding grace flows to all the suffering families, to the Kong family, to the widow that is left behind. In these times of bereavement, in these times of loss, let grace backfill. Let grace, this all-sufficient grace, tabernacle over us. This grace will protect us. This grace encourages us. This grace eventually will even establish us after these things. And nextly, number 9, let us find comfort in the Lord's peace. Oh, the peace of God, the God of peace. Not the peace that the world talks about, not the peace and harmony that they're thinking about. Look at United Nations. What kind of peace will it bring? We're talking about another peace, a peace from heaven, a peace unfathomable, an unfathomable peace, a peace that is beyond our understanding, beyond our understanding. It just is there. It's inexplicable, but it's there. While in tears, while in pain, this peace presides. This peace rules. This peace comforts. In the world, you will have affliction. The Lord said so. But I have given you my peace. I have overcome the world. This peace, this God of peace, is the one who will preserve us, spirit and soul and body, blameless, holy, and complete until that day, the day of his appearing. And this God of peace is the one who will ultimately crush Satan under our feet. Brothers and sisters, let this peace rule and reign. Yes, we may be disturbed for a while. We may be distracted for a while. We may be unsettled and unnerved for a while. Let us come back to this peace. This very God who is our true peace. And finally, let us comfort ourselves. Comfort ourselves with his hope, which is actually our hope because he has given that hope to us. But it is still from him. His invisible hope. This hope that we talk about, this Christian hope, we cannot show people. We cannot, it's not seen. But as it says, what it can be seen, then what hope is that hope? The nature of hope is that it is not seen. But this hope can be fully substantiated by our faith in the Lord. Because of this hope, many of God's chosen ones lived their life through trials and tribulation and suffering. They pass through God's discipline. They are even under God's governmental arrangement. The all things in Romans 8 again, the all things that work together for those who love him and are called according to his purpose are all the environments, all the adversities, all the difficulties, all the affliction that happen to us. And many times we're in situation, including the apostles, where we even have the sentence of death in ourselves. We're in a condition of utter hopelessness. We find there's no way of escape. We don't know what the future will hold humanly. But there is hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The hope of appearing with the Lord. The hope of being gathered unto him. The hope of eternal life. It says, we grieve in Thessalonians, but not as the world does. Because the world is without Christ and without hope. We have a divine hope. We have a glorious hope. And these dear ones have that hope. They're waiting, just like we are waiting, for that day. So, brothers and sisters, I hope with these 10 things, great things of God, all actually demonstrating and spelling, revealing to us who this God is and how this God is. Let us cleave to him. Let us abide in him. Remain with him. Yes, let us enjoy him and experience him in these difficult days. And let us find eternal comfort. That is Paul's word. Eternal comfort in our God. This perpetual, abiding, lasting comfort. May that be our portion nowadays.